Thanks again to everybody for joining us yet another time for Bridging the Gap. My name is Corey Graham, Director of Communication for Powell County Fiscal Court. Just like last month, we're going to come to you every week after the regular meeting of the Powell County Fiscal Court with Judge Anderson to give the opportunity to catch up on what's going on in the county through the fiscal court meetings. Judge, let's begin with, we had some active citizens in the meeting this particular time. We had a pretty lively public comment. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
I can. We had two individuals coming, both on different issues, but the first was a member of our Powell County Tourism Commission, and he came as kind of a, I guess he had heard some of the items that had been talked about and discussed at the last fiscal court meeting, kind of try to set what he felt was misrepresented straight and address some concerns. And he pointed, he probably got a little, we actually finally called it a little bit out of order, as it kind of got off topic as it kind of started pointing some accusations of some indiscretions he felt the city had been a part of. So we didn't get into that, but he was pointing, he had brought the original formation of it and how the appointments were made, and kind of just give the fiscal court a little bit more general knowledge beyond what they had read of how that's been made up, as well as I think one of the things he had took issue with in one of the previous meetings was they had alluded to there hadn't been a whole lot of representation from Clay City, and that was one of the things he cleared up. Naturally, if you read the statute that the original commission, well, the commission was set up under, it's set up that way, is only the city with the most populous area actually got an appointment. Therefore, no doing of that commission, but it was that statute that dictated, but that they had in good faith always tried to be aware that, you know, just because the statute spells out who has the appointment, that there was naturally representation from all areas of the county.
So the issues that they ran into were more KRS and state rules than anything locally done.
That's pretty much what he was going over. And then, like I said, he submitted the court with a list of 10 individuals that had served since 1990 from the Clay City area, just to show that there had been much representation from that part of the county as well.
Well, that's something we always run into. The state regulations are, they are what they are, and we may not like them, but we're bound, of course, as a local government to abide by them. A separate issue altogether that involved wastewater treatment, that kind of sewage management. What was the nature of that?
There is, and some people may be familiar, the city of Stanton is actively pursuing expanding its sewer into parts of the county, which I think the areas all included are Smallwood Hollow, Boone Creek, George Drake Road, and down 213 in that direction, and they've been working on that for several months. And initially, I was asked to give a letter of support, which I did, because I do think, you know, getting that infrastructure out in the county is very important to our future growth. But since the time that, I guess, the initial conversation about the project, it seems now that, according to what this citizen was saying, and he did provide some letters that kind of supported that they're trying to make it more of a mandatory thing now versus a voluntary hookup thing. Therefore, people that were in support of it are now opposed to it, and I guess have even went as far as to get a petition to try to stop it because of they have some grave concerns. And he questioned, you know, one of the points that individual made was he felt kind of helpless in that, in this instance where you had a city entity doing work in the county, that, you know, it's kind of, in essence, taxation without representation, and a very fair statement. And that's one of the reasons, you know, as long as I'm in this office, I'll work toward trying to get a charter government. And that's one of the things I do agree with that statement, that, you know, if elected officials are going to be able to impact your life, you as a citizen should have the ability to vote for or against and be able to dictate that.
Well, and truthfully, that's not a new concern. I've personally heard it. I'm sure you have as well. You know, you have so many residents of the county who are on some form of city water that do feel like they don't have any say-so in how that particular entity is run, but yet they're still subjected to it. And that's not a new complaint.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And like I said, I kind of stretch it, but that did bring up that good point. And like I said, one that has been a common thread. You know, anytime there's an issue with one of those infrastructures, naturally, they call my officer dispatch seeking help. And like I said, unfortunately, we're very limited in that capacity at this time to do anything. So I think that's just another argument for why charter government makes sense is to clarify some of them issues. But basically, I advised that person that we would naturally, I hadn't saw some of the items he submitted to me, so we're reviewing it, and naturally, it's a impacts the county, so we're going to take a look at it and try to get to the bottom and separate, you know, the facts from the rumors before we.
Well, and beyond the public comment, I'm sure there are just some generalized updates to, you know, what's going on within the county that I'm sure you'd like to impart to us.
Yeah, there was. I'd in our last meeting over the last month or two, we've had several conversations. There's been some of you may be aware there had been an effort from a citizen living in Estill County to have a. Portions of Mountain Springs Road closed. He had petitioned the Estill County Fiscal Court to do so, and there again, by statute, had the ability to do it. Estill County Fiscal Court had went through the process as far as sending reviewers, posting it, and setting up the public hearing. And I guess last Thursday, had the opportunity to go to that meeting, and on behalf of Powell County, thinking it was would have negative impacts on us, especially in relation to the new tourism incentives we have going and things. So as well as we have several citizens that live in Powell County that actually own property there. So it impacts a good number of our citizens. Like I said, directly, if you count the Estill County citizens, Powell County citizens, somewhere around 27 directly, not counting anybody in the state or wherever they're from that wishes to travel it. So I'd submitted a letter in opposition and kind of explaining some of my reasoning by that. And we had numerous citizens, there was numerous citizens that attended that meeting, and we had several, probably equally many Powell County residents there as it is right there on the line and intersects. So I was very pleased at the outcome of that meeting. Estill County Fiscal Court voted to deny the petition, and so that was, I think, a very wise decision. I just wanted to thank them for that action, and it was one that I think will prove to be very important to our future growth in tourism.
Well, and I'm sure the message will get to them. As you know, WSKV has a pretty large listener base in Estill County, so it is good to see anytime you can get our counties to work together for the benefit of everyone. That's truly something to be proud of.
And that I kind of spoke to that a little bit in my letter. That's one thing. Estill County is actually one of our partner counties in the interlocal agreement we have between the four counties with the Hollywood Project. And this road in relation to it and the Daniel Boone Backcountry Byway is very vital link in those projects. So I'm very pleased with their move there.
And additionally, beyond that, what other updates do you have for us? I know we have a pretty important event going on this weekend at the courthouse.
We do. And like I said, I think we're all very aware of the drug epidemic that is affecting, well, the nation, but in particularly Eastern Kentucky. And so we're so thankful. We here a few weeks ago, I think, on our show, we'd had the members of the Spark. And this is actually the third annual event where they host a event that highlighting the work they do, kind of celebrating recovering addicts, and as well as there's a lot of the people that support their efforts that'll set up booths, showing people how they can get help or if they have a loved one. So kind of just a great public awareness for the things they do in the community, and that will be this Saturday evening from 6 to 9 at the Powell County Courthouse. So we encourage anybody that, you know, don't have plans to stop by and just show your support for them and maybe learn a little bit more about what they do.
Well, I know I'll be there, you'll be there, and there's going to be some interesting guests that will be there as well. I know Congressman Andy Barr is going to be there. I've heard State Representative Hale will be in attendance, and probably what I would consider to be one of the most interesting attendees is going to be the woman behind Casey's Law, which we've talked at great length about Casey's Law on this show already. But to have the woman who actually has the backstory that made that a law in the state, that's an impressive guest and somebody who can shed a lot of light on that whole process and program.
And it is. And like I said, you know, as we learned from their interview, that this Spark group is not not directly a government entity, but we're very thankful. And it just speaks to, I think, to efforts of Powell County and a lot of, you know, we've got groups that are actually proactive and have been more proactive than a lot of other counties in trying to do something about this drug situation and help all those individuals. And so it just finally to start, as we said, when you get people from the federal level, state level, to start to recognize the efforts of this group and that they've got a model that's working, and to start to partner and start looking for funding for groups such as this, it's a win-win for the state beyond Powell County.
One thing I find really interesting, every day I drive to work, I drive past our new soon-to-be newly opened senior center. And folks, if you haven't been by it, it's really a nice building. It's really a positive addition to the community. And probably most remarkably, they seem to have built it just about overnight. It's got to be the fastest construction crew in America. I think there's some updates about that, though, if you have anything to share there.
I did share some updates. And, of course, there again, we'll as we get closer to opening, we'll have a little bit more in-depth look at that project in particular. But when you drive by that and see it and realize that that wasn't local tax dollars, that was a grant that was afforded to us to build a facility much needed by that population that's been way underserved. So we're very proud of that project. And like you said, construction, things went overnight. Now it kind of seems like it's ready to move into and nothing's happening. And that actually has been the case for a little while now. We had had substantial issues with getting one of the phone companies to move their service off of the pole in order that we could finish the grade work and things which need to be done to complete the parking lot and things. So basically, it hamstrung us from putting the finishing touches and actually getting this thing into service.
But now that's been completed, right?
It has been partially completed. One of the entities, actually, I misspoke. There was two phone companies that had one. And I want to, here's a good chance to give a shout out to one somebody that's not, they actually, those companies were on a Clark Energy pole. And as soon as we notified Clark Energy, they come, set a new pole, move their utility. So it has been these phone companies that have held us up. So it took me actually calling the Public Service Commission to finally get results. And we have got one of the two that were on that pole move. So hopefully within the next week or so, the other one, I think their notification has been long enough now. So we hope to get the final little touch-ups on that project and get it open and available to those citizens.
That's great. You know, one thing we hear so much about right now, particularly national news, local news, and all over, is insurance, health insurance, and health care. And insurance was actually a subject at the court meeting on Tuesday. Is that right?
It was. Naturally, our enrollment date, you know, our new employee health insurance starts with our fiscal year, which is July 1. So every year around this time, we're looking to try to secure the best rates and therefore try to make the best use of taxpayers' dollars. And this year we had put it out in the paper, and it looks like that we probably have three people that have three entities that will be submitting proposals. So there was just some question as to what we could expect from those proposals. So we just kind of let them know where we was at and kind of what interest we had saw in that so far. So hopefully here within the next month or so, we'll have know where we're going in that regard.
Do you feel like we're going to be able to maintain the existing cost level, or should we be looking at a possible rise or decline in costs?
I think that's a fair question. And unfortunately, I would almost see that we're going to have to weather some kind of increase. What that is, I think there's so many unknowns right now with the health care that even a lot of these people that would usually have a little bit better gauge of what's going to happen with them are kind of a lot, so many uncertainties. So it's really hard to tell. Naturally, beyond trying to secure that, it's very applicable as we're working through the budget process at this same time. And that, you know, that's one of the bigger expense lines in a lot of our department is the health insurance costs. So it's directly related to that and has major bearings on how that plays out.
Well, and it's an excellent example of how national politics impact local politics. You know, the more money we have to expend on healthcare for employees and that type of service, that's less money that can go to other projects within the county.
It is. And that's one thing, you know, I guess it was a model before I got here and has been we've been able to sustain it is, you know, a lot of our employees don't make significant amounts of money per hour. So that's been one way that we've been able to be somewhat competitive in that up until this time, we've always been able to offer that individual healthcare as part of their employment package. And, you know, as costs continue to rise, that's something, unfortunately, that we'll be forced to look at. At what point can we continue to fully 100% reimburse that cost? And at the point it exceeds what we can, then naturally that's money, further money taken away from that employee. So it's a negative, have a negative impact on everybody.
Well, and especially, you know, here where so many of our employees are Powell Countyans, the overwhelming majority are, the more you take out of their pocket, that's less money circulating in the community. So no matter how you slice it, there's definitely an impact within Powell County on it.
But I do, as I said, the court is a, you know, salt proposal. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that we secure the best price possible in that regard.
Well, Judge, we've about run out of time this time, but we can come back. We'll come back tomorrow for a second half interview on the Powell County Fiscal Court meeting and some updates from there. Thank everybody again for joining us for Bridging the Gap. And same time tomorrow, we'll be back to finish this conversation up.